I think that while we have all of you present here this morning, that it would be quite proper to take the opportunity on behalf of my wife and myself to say thank you for a wonderful week. We have profited by the rich fellowship, and our lives have been blessed by seeing those that we have seen before and by meeting new friends. We want to thank you, all of you, for your hospitality, and to Brother Majonier and the brethren for the invitation to be present here for this Christmas week. It has been a great blessing to our own lives. And as hitherto, we leave with a desire to acquaint others with the many ministries of Park of the Palms. We are grateful to those that have ministered on the platform with us in chairing the meetings and in music, those that have played, and all that have served in such a wonderful way. We are grateful to you. It would have been nice if you could have turned on the heat a little bit outside, but you and I don't govern that. We just have learned to thank God for whatever the temperature is, and He makes the weather, and we express our thanks to Him. In teaching the subject of the prayer life, we have found in the Word at least 8 laws that govern the believer at the place of prayer. I believe that all of these studies on prayer have been placed on tape thus far, and this one will be no exception. We began with an introductory study of the prayer life, and then moved on to the law of motive, the law of submission, the law of obedience, and now we're going to look at the law of holiness. I believe it is expressed in Psalm 66, if you would like to turn to it. Psalm 66 and verse 18 through 20. Psalm 66, 18 through 20. We had someone ask us yesterday if we have been keeping busy since the last time we were here. You better believe it. I well remember that before we began our ministries among the brethren, we were quite busy, but God has undertaken, and in the change, we have been just real busy in the ministry of the Word. And we're grateful to Him for whatever dimension He gives to that Word across the country, here and there. Pray for us. Now you have the place, 66, 18 of the Psalms. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Now anyone that has studied the Psalms knows that the Psalms divide themselves into 5 books, commonly when put together, called the hymn book of the Hebrews. At least 73 of the Psalms were penned by David. And these Psalms have been born of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of David as David passed through various circumstances spiritually and otherwise in his life. I believe that David is the psalmist on this occasion, and it was he who wrote by inspiration and yet out of deep, deep experience with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, to regard iniquity is, first of all, to know that it's there. And secondly, it is to cast a glance toward iniquity, a glance that is favorable. If we regard it, then we have permitted it its presence there. We have not dealt with it as in the presence of a holy God. The result is disastrous. Sin in the life of the Christian, unconfessed, can destroy spiritual power. It can destroy the usefulness that God would make of our lives and whatever are the gifts that He has entrusted to us. Sin in the life can destroy our family. As a father in the home, we can fail to take our places. As a leader in the work of the Lord, we can fall flat on our faces in weakness, and all because we do not deal in terms of confession with the sin that we permit in our lives. But I believe that sin very seriously affects one of the most precious aspects of life, the prayer life. To be unable to reach God in prayer because we have set up a kind of middle wall or partition between us and the Lord. We have refused to deal with what God has pointed out to us. We can regard sin with pleasure. We can regard it and refuse to deal with it as we should before God. David knew that. If any man in Scripture knew that, David did so. And I believe that Peter knew that. And I have no doubt that one day in the glory, when we all possess our glorified bodies, Peter and David and a whole host of other believers will probably say how good it was to release oneself from the burden and to get right with God and then to go on victoriously in the work committed to us by the Lord. There could be one here today who has come away from the home assembly. You have left your business behind you. You have come here to rest or to enjoy a different environment. But you have brought yourself with yourself. There may be some barrier between you and the Lord, something that hinders fellowship, some obstacle that blocks success at the place of prayer. You have brought it with you. May it please our Heavenly Father by the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning. Let me read again for you this 18th verse. If I regard iniquity In my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, before I look at a very treasured passage, I'd like you to turn back to James chapter 1 for a few minutes. James chapter 1. The book of James is perhaps a favorite with you. I enjoy the book of James so much. I expect to do some special work in it other than teaching from the platform. And with every turn of the page, I seem to be given something that's very precious for my own heart, some encouragement. I look at James 1 and verse 22. And we read, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Sin is a deceiver. And if we feel that we can provide or make provision for sin in our lives and still go on with God successfully, we deceive ourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Notice, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Mother used to send me to the place of ablutions and tell me to wash my face and hands. Many times I went up, but it was just a glance in the mirror. What I saw didn't please me. But somehow that water seemed worse than the soil on my face. And when I would come down, she would look at me. And she would say, "You didn't wash your face." And she would disappear. And then she would sometimes hand me a very dry washcloth. She knew from two sources of evidence that I didn't do the job. I saw myself. I could have washed. And she saw me and also had the evidence of a dried washcloth. Now God says, you and I can look into the face of the Lord in this word. We can look into the word as a mirror. And do not forget that this word not only reveals the Lord to us, it reveals ourselves to ourselves. And we look into it, and when we should drop on our faces before God and confess our sins, we neglect it. Somehow we choose not to confess. And we have paid a price for it. If others do not know it, we know it. But let me suggest that if we have failed in the place of confession and cleansing, it's just a little difficult to keep it from others. And certainly impossible to hide it from the Lord. What is the unfinished business that one here may have with the Lord? Unfinished business. We know what we need to confess. We haven't finished that work. We haven't repaired to the presence of God. We haven't named the sin to God. We haven't dealt with it before the Lord. Haven't confessed it. Why, that very fact is written on the tablets of our hearts this morning. And we can say, yes, Lord, if I see myself, and I do, and I go on my way about my business or about the affairs of the assembly, if I even go 1,000 miles from home, and as I look into the Word, the mirror of God, I see myself. And while I haven't made things right with God in terms of confession, I know that this is a spiritual must. And I could trust that you would say to him this morning, Lord, this is the thing that has robbed me of my place of leadership in the home as father. This is the thing that has grieved my wife. This is the thing that has grieved my husband. This is the very thing that has turned off my children. This is the thing that has held me back. I haven't been myself since this has blocked the way to successful prayer and to fervent testimony. David had to come to that place. I want you to turn, please, to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I believe that Psalm 66 was written after Psalm 32. While those things that David knew were present in his life, I do not believe that he wrote any psalms. There was no service really rendered unto God while he lived in unconfessed sin. You know as well as I do that David sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned horribly against Uriah. He simply, in my judgment, became a man who betrayed a man that would have died for him, who laid his feet, as it were, as in abject service and would have given his life at any hour of the day for the king. But David failed Uriah. And he blasted the life of Bathsheba for a time at least. This man was guilty. He knew he was guilty. He kept silence about it. I think he must have hung his harp on the peg in the palace. I doubt seriously if he sang a psalm in those days of unconfessed sin. Sin blocked his way to the Lord by way of fellowship. Sin made it impossible for him to pray for leadership in the kingdom and to get things from God. He could have confessed, but he didn't. And a man who does not confess, a woman who does not get right with God, even though it's costly, even though one has to retrace his steps or hers, will find that it's a frightful price to pay just for the purpose of saving one's face in embarrassment or having to come humbly before the Lord. But David did get right with God. And now that this has taken place, he pens a psalm. And notice that the psalm has written above it, a psalm of David must heal. The word means instruction. And I suggest to you that the Holy Spirit has allowed for this heading in order that you and I might be instructed. We must be taught. If we resist teaching, we have resisted progress. We have resisted usefulness. David said, I learned a fearful lesson. Don't walk the same way. Learn from me that silence before God doesn't pay. Learn from me that sin, however pleasurable for the moment, always leaves you destitute of spiritual power and the inability to move the throne of God. And in fact, a lack of desire for prayer. Yes, in those two verses, 1 and 2, we note that David expressed 3 words for sin and 3 words that involve confession. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose rebellions are forgiven. When man exalts his spirit against the clear lesson from the Word of God, he has committed transgression. He is a rebel. He has stepped over the line in his rebellion. Then it says, whose sin is covered. This sin is a word that means to miss the mark. I've often said that my son would have enjoyed archery, and so I purchased a bow for him, pulled about 20 or 25 pounds. Must have been about 13, around there. We set up a figure of a deer at the end of the lot. We mounted that, in a sense, on some bales of straw. Showed him how to hold the bow and how to release the arrow. How to stand. And I tell you, I thought he had it all memorized. And he left it fly. And he went straight. But straight through a window. Yes, indeed. He missed the mark. Those who sin against the Lord miss the mark. And the mark is God's holiness. The mark entails God's blessing, God's recognition of the believer for blessing. And there's a third word. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. This is any moral indiscretion, any crookedness in life. And so, with these 3 words for sin, God matches them with forgiveness and covering, and he says he does not impute iniquity to such a person. Now notice, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David sat on the throne, and I could see him perhaps with a staff between his knees, maybe a scepter in his hand. Oh, he hasn't touched his harp. He hasn't sung for Jehovah God. He has taken no interest in the temple. That is, the place of worship. Not Solomon's temple, of course. But he took no interest in getting alone with God. Kept silence. Maybe 10 months. Maybe 12 months. And then it says, when he did keep silence, his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. David said, I failed physically. I felt like an elderly man. I felt so old as I sat on the throne. I didn't feel good at all. Not only when he sat on the throne, but this was true at night. He couldn't sleep. He was troubled. Why is it that one doesn't get right with God and do it quickly? Why is it that one doesn't take the initiative and say, Lord, I've sinned. Lift thou thy hand from my life. David said, I didn't do it. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. Out in Israel, one time I stood at Ascalon, and I saw there some of the things that had been uncovered in the diggings. Would you believe it? Here was Atlas with the world on his back, and on top of the world was some pagan deity, a goddess. I think it was Spurgeon who said that it is better to be a man with Atlas on his back than a believer with the heavy hand of God upon his soul. David said, I knew conviction. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Everywhere David turned, he saw something that reminded him of his sin. It's like a person that hasn't come through with God in the sense that he has confessed the thing that God has dealt with him. And he comes to the Word, and sure enough, he opens it, begins to read, and there it is. So he turns to another place. There it is. He hears a message. There it is. He gets down to pray. And it becomes like a curtain between him and God. He knows what it is. Dr. R.A. Torrey, when at the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, faced a crisis need financially in the Bible Institute. He went to God, and God did not meet the need. And then one night, very late, he prayed, Oh God, if there's anything in my life that's hindering this, speak thou to thy servant, and I will confess it. And the Lord seemed to say to him, as Torrey wrote, You say, if there is, you know what I've been dealing with you about. You know what I've spoken to you about. And Torrey knew. And he came clean with God. Confessed the thing that hindered his leadership to the Lord. And Dr. Torrey wrote that in just a little while, he received the answer to the school's financial need. But he received it only after he dealt severely with his life. You see, it hinders prayer. We can't move God in our behalf so that God gives us the desires and the delights of our hearts. If we do not delight in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his justice, if we do not set up in our lives moral values with the help of the Holy Spirit, that are like unto those that are registered in the character of God. No, beloved, David said, Day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I think behind these words is the idea of a tree from whom or from which the moisture has been extracted. It's a dried up old tree bearing no fruit bearing no real shadow for the comfort of others. David was king, but he didn't live kingly. He had a scepter in his hand, but he must have said to himself many times on the throne, David, you can control the lives of a nation, of a kingdom, but you couldn't even control yourself. And at night this was impressed upon him, and he sweated out. He was affected physically. And I'm not going to expound this in detail at all, but I do believe, Christian heart, that there is reality to the position that if one regards sin in his life and will not confess it, and God continues to deal with him about it or with her, that this unconfessed sin can ultimately affect us physically. Our God has made us so that our bodies are sensitive to the violation of His principles and His will. And sometimes our bodies are just stern reminders to us that we have wandered from the way of the Lord. And we have to settle that individually and very carefully for ourselves. David said, Selah. Variously translated. You perhaps have heard it as being translated, just pause and think of that. As though David said, I didn't talk to God about it. I just left the wheels of God move. I could have confessed, but I didn't. He said, just think of that. Think of a believer living that way. And then here is the triumphant note. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, that is in my soul, I will confess my transgressions unto Jehovah, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. The Father has said to His family in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess is not simply to say, Lord, if I have sinned. Oh, so many believers do that. Now, that's sheer hypocrisy, if I have sinned. We either do not know, as we should know, about the nature of God, or we do not know the real nature of sin. It's far better to ask Him to search our hearts and reveal to us our departures from His will, and then face them and come into the presence of God and say, I have sinned. And declare it. Homilego means to say the same thing about sin that God says about it. That's the word for confess. You come into this country from another, and the officer may say, have you anything to declare? And the suitcase may be opened, and he may look through it. Anything to declare may be recorded. I believe that the essence of that is in the thought of confession. God wants us to declare what is in our lives that displeases Him, that departs from His will, the things that rob us of the ability to pray and to pray with power. I say again, what a price we pay for silent lips, for a silent heart before God. An emergency comes. We would normally pray about it. And in fellowship with God, we would pray believing that God bends His ear toward our need. But when our hearts aren't right, There's an area of doubt in our lives. The conviction of our sin sweeps over the soul, and we wrestle with the possibility that now this will hinder God. It's a terrible, terrible experience in one's life. To know you should pray, to know you can do nothing but pray. In an emergency, in one of the exigencies of life, to look to God, to look heavenward, and then know that there is that which constitutes a spiritual curtain. And we find that our sins have kept us from the blessing. David said, I acknowledged it. Mine iniquity have I not hid. He brought it out. I said within my soul, you see, David talked to himself, and it's good to talk to yourself. My wife jokes with me once in a while that I talk with myself. Well, I do. I'm pretty hard on myself sometimes, for I know how miserable I am at times. And maybe you have the same experience. You're disappointed in yourselves. You'd love to mirror more of the life of Christ, but we don't. And so we talk to ourselves. And we may talk to ourselves for other reasons. I'm not a counselor in that sense, so don't come to me and ask me how to cure it. I used an illustration some years ago about calcium in the human body. If a child, 5 or 6, has some behavioral difficulties, it may be that he lacks calcium. And a little calcium will change the picture. And I got home, I got to the place I was staying, and I got a phone call. The gentleman on the phone call said, do you remember me? It was one of some hundreds in the service. And I said, no. He said, well, I'm 83 years of age. And he said, I want to know if any of that there calcium can help me. I said, well, I don't know. I didn't know. He said, you carry any of that stuff in your bag? He wanted to buy some. I don't know, but I do know this, that confession is good for the soul and for the body and for the mind. And so he said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. What is the answer? Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I trucked coal with my father for 6 years from the mines. At the age of 14, I was driving a big old Brockway truck. Shouldn't have been, but it did. I wasn't saved. My father told me to put away one of the trucks. Cold night. And he said it's going to freeze. Didn't have antifreeze in the trucks in those days. And I wanted to get out at night. So I thought, it's not going to freeze. I have to get this thing out in the morning. And so I put it away, didn't drain it. But in the morning, it got so cold at night. I came out, and the head of that motor was split 6 to 7 inches. I thought, oh my. So Dad saw it, but he clammed up. He didn't boot me around the block. He was capable of doing that. I wish he had. But you see, he didn't say a word. Yes, the time came when we were out in the truck together, but he didn't speak to me. Oh, we used to banter and laugh and joke and do all kinds of things together. Dad was silent. I couldn't take it anymore. Even though I was unsaved and he was unsaved, I came to him and I said, Dad, I know what's wrong. I lied to you. I left you think I had drained the head of the truck, and I didn't. I said, I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't get much money for my work. I worked for my father. But I did a lot of work. And I said, Dad, take what you would give me normally and put it toward the new head. He said, Son, that's not what I'm interested in. He said, it hurt that you didn't tell me the truth. But he said, I'm glad you did. And he put his big old arm around my shoulders. It was a lot bigger then than in later years. Dad worked hard. Put that arm around my shoulder and drew me closer and smiled. And soon our fellowship was reestablished. But those moments out of fellowship were not happy moments. And so it is with the child of God. Perhaps today would be the day when you will come to the Father and say, Lord, I can't take it anymore. Smile upon my life. Let me walk in fellowship and then deal with the thing that God's been speaking about. Let's pray. Our Father, in the heart of hearts this morning, we know that it is altogether possible to look and even to live to a certain measure, to speak, to sing, and yet know that there is something between us and the Lord. We know it at the place of prayer. God, help us. To know in fact that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Speak to us. Lead thy beloved people to a real heart searching. And should there be one or more here, perhaps, Lord, you've brought them here just for the purpose of moving upon their hearts in one way or another. Sanctify this service this morning to meet that need through Jesus Christ. Amen.